it's our job, like as business owners, like, you know, why do you start a business? Mm-hmm. To feed your family, to be self-employed, for whatever reason it is. I don't know anybody that started a business with the goal in mind to be poor.
Yeah. Well, at least in the long run, right?
Right.
Yeah, at least in the long run.
So you're trying to build something and you know, cutting costs and making it affordable to start. Even in established businesses. I mean, how many big business owners don't have enough support around them, so they're working 60 to 70 hours a week, that could use a couple VAs out of their own pocket. We placed a VA with a CEO of a company that he pays for out of his own pocket.
Yeah.
He's not a company employee. It's a personal virtual assistant that he pays out of his own pocket to free up his time.
Yeah. What up, Zach? How are you, my friend?
Good. How you doing?
It's been too long, dude.
Yes, boom.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
We've talked, but the last podcast we did was a while ago. I think when you and you guys got fierce right off the bat, but you have a new venture.
Yeah.
Going on.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Dude. Yeah, we do a lot of stuff with Fierce and everything, but my bread and butter is my insurance business, damage plan insurance. I do like home, auto, life insurance and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. For a few years now, I've been using a VA virtual assistant, and she's over in the Philippines. Her name's Kara. She's awesome. And the company that I hired her through, they've been looking to expand, and so kind of took on a role to help them expand and be an aggregator underneath them to find more people that could use VAs. So our business is VA Connects. And we just trying to help connect business owners with affordable work from home employees.
Yeah, dude, I think there's a lot of controversy that comes around VAs, especially when you outsource out of the country, right? Like I have a VA from the Philippines.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest ones, because I was telling you before this, I have another friend who has a VA agency, and it's very good, but he always gets tagged with like, moving jobs out of the country that could be in the country. No. And then he always gets like, you're underpaying people. And I'm like, yeah, but you've never been to the Philippines.
Yeah. So let's, yes. I mean, like you talk about that. Cause I got that same thing. So one, a big one was, I had a life coach. She pays her VA $30 an hour. And I said, that's great.
Hefty. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
But like, wouldn't you rather pay them like $10 to $12 an hour? And right. Cause I mean, what's the point of running your own business?
Yeah.
Isn't it to make money?
Yeah. 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 And at the beginning, not a lot of people have, and the problem is not a lot of people have $30 an hour.
For sure. So it helps a lot of like startups, right? So that you've started businesses. I've started businesses. There's a lot of weight on your shoulders. It'd be really nice if you had somebody that was affordable that you could delegate and outsource some of those things. So you could focus on money-making activities rather than tasks that have to get done, but don't really make you money.
Yeah.
You just do them so that you can start working on the money-making tasks, right?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point of a VA. And I'll say this, I might get some pushback from it, but I don't really feel like a lot of Americans and that stay-at-home mom that's making $30 an hour to be a VA for a life coach, she has to have so much flexibility with that job.
Yeah.
She doesn't even, I wouldn't say she doesn't appreciate it, but she doesn't value it as like a really good job where I pay my VA, you know, she's a $10 to $12 an hour VA.
Yeah.
She literally will do whatever I ask very happily. When I ask her to do a task, she's right on it. It's not when I can get around to it, because she values the job so much, because the average income over there is less than $6,000 a year.
Yeah.
So like people don't understand this. Like you pay them like $10 to $12 an hour. that is a high paying job over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that my view of VAs, cause I've been around these kind of agencies before, and my view of the messaging has always been like, it is for startups, right? Like if you can afford a $30 like assistant and you want that, like go for it, dude. But it's for people, like you mentioned, like in that startup phase who are trying to make it work. But like, dude, I just don't have the time, man. And I don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like I can't afford a $30 an hour assistant.
No.
Like, but it'd be nice to get some help, you know?
Yeah. And affordable. They appreciate it. You appreciate them. You can do little things for them that maybe don't mean a whole lot to you, but mean the world to them. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you're really helping out a part of the world that like needs it.
Yeah. I think, when people say you're taking jobs out of America, how many people in America are working and doing a good job for less than 18, 20 bucks an hour? Like, right, let's right, be honest. Right. Like, you know, I mean, let's go back to a few years ago when the hot topic was we have to raise
the minimum wage
to what, like 15 bucks an hour. That's what people wanted or whatever.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, for a lot of small business owners, that's when I owned a car detailing business. Some of those employees aren't worth $15 an hour.
Yeah. So, well, for some of the tasks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I have to pay them $15 an hour, well, now the margins are off. Now I'm not making any money.
Right.
Right. Cause we were paying them 10 to 12 bucks an hour. If I have to raise them to $15 an hour, that means now we have to raise the cost of the car detail.
Yeah.
Well, now people are mad because now instead of $120 to detail your car, it's going to cost you $150.
Yeah.
You know, it's all relative, right? Yeah. Like the
we have to make it work.
It's not like we were making huge margins and fat money anyway.
I think that's where a lot of the misconception is when people go after corporations, like most people don't understand that you're not actually hurting them. Right. Because you're not hurting a corporation because if McDonald's raised their prices, like
they don't care.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like we're all going to still go to McDonald's. Yeah, right. Like,
right.
But if a small business has to raise their prices, like that's a big deal. Like
it's a big deal.
It keeps a lot of people up at night.
So yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at it. Right. I don't think people look at like the reactionary consequences of making decisions like that because in reality it's, if you raise the minimum wage down to, or up to $15 an hour, or whatever, and those people aren't doing tasks or you don't have tasks for them that equals $15 an hour of value. So now they just lost their job probably.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you're talking about now I'm making less money per hour to run the company because I'm probably just going to start doing the task now because it's a trade-off. It's a risk reward, right? Yeah. It's a trade-off. I'm paying this person to do it so I don't have to, so I can, you know.
Do more income generating.
Sure. But now if that goes up, well, you know, if they're not worth $15 an hour, I'm just going to cut them. And I'm just going to do it now.
Yeah. 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 There's a lot that people don't think about. And when you're talking about like VAs and outsourcing a lot of these things, I've never seen a problem with that. I think if you just got to get it done, because I also think that there will still be a lot of jobs out there that you with companies that can't outsource.
Right.
Per se. Right. So, the people who always tell me like you're shipping jobs out, like, by the way, that was just a common objection that I'm glad you addressed. But for me, it's never made sense because it's like, well, dude, there's actually a ton of jobs out there that we can't outsource to VAs, right? Like at all.
Well,
that you can go get.
It's only stay from home jobs, right?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Right. So like my wife works for an interior designer as a stay at home mom and it's super flexible and it's great. But every once in a while she needs to go to the homes that they're working on or do like go to their warehouse and do an inventory check on what they have. A VA can't do that.
Right.
Right. So it's like,
okay, that makes sense to have one here.
You have one here. Yeah. Right. And she has to pay a little bit more for that because she has one here, but there are plenty. I look at it as it's a tool and a resource for entrepreneurs that can't afford that $18 to $20 an hour job that, for a stay-at-home mom that won't value it, has kids, has her own thing.
Well, and not only that, but in my opinion, it's like for better or for worse, like this is America that we live in, like we all have to play by the rules of this game. Like whether you like, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
We have to like, it's just, unfortunately, like, and that's what I tell people, like, it doesn't matter what your political views are. We all have to go out and play this game.
Exactly. When people, when people talk about it's ridiculous that Jeff Bezos doesn't have to pay more in taxes. And well, it's like, well, okay, that's fine. But that's the rules. That's the game. So are you saying, so is he doing anything illegal? Well, no. Okay. Well then.
Well, and by the way,
so he's just playing by the rules of the game.
Don't talk to me about taxes. Cause I'll go down the rabbit hole on that. Like I was accountable, but for real, like most Americans don't pay taxes anyway. Like when you, if you get a return on your taxes,
sure.
That's because you overpaid and the government is reimbursing you.
Yeah.
Like that's what, like it, that you didn't pay any taxes. Like you didn't pay any taxes either. Like all the taxes that we have to pay, Jeff Bezos pays. Like, so when someone says like, the first question I ask when someone is like, Jeff Bezos doesn't pay taxes. The first thing I say is like, what taxes are you talking about? Cause he pays sales tax.
He for sure does.
He pays property taxes. They pay income taxes. They pay tax at the pump. They pay taxes to their, all their peeps when they, whatever.
How
they
much
pay
money in tax revenue do they create?
Yeah.
By every sale that they make on Amazon.
And not only that, and they remit those taxes and then they pay taxes on what they buy and all this stuff. So like, and then Donald Trump answered the second part of that question. He was like, if you want them to change the tax code, like then change it, but you're not going to, because all your favorite Democrats and Republicans,
they all
get tax benefits.
For sure.
Like it doesn't matter. Democrat, Republican, Green Party, Libertarian, they all get tax breaks.
And they all take advantage of them.
So you can go F yourself.
Sure.
Stop talking about
that. But when you talk about like relating consequences and stuff too, it's all relative. If you just like pinpoint on one thing, you're underpaying these VAs. That's relative.
Yeah.
Underpaying under what standard?
Not in the Philippines.
I'm underpaid. I mean, I really appreciate my VA, Kara. Her and her husband go to resorts in the Philippines, really nice resort getaways with their two kids all the time.
Yeah. On the money that.
Because I underpay them.
Underpay them in America, but like in
you know what I mean?
Go live in the Philippines, man.
Like that's what I think it's a really cool thing. They're very talented over there. They can they can do just about anything.
Oh yeah.
I mean, she helps me with my insurance business, right? Mm-hmm.
They speak really good English.
She does really she helps. I can give her projects for VA Connects.
They're right? very competent.
She can do, if I need her to, I log her onto my social media and say, hey, I need these posts to go out for my Fierce Fighting Championship promotion.
Yeah.
Like she could do it.
Yeah.
Like they're very good at their job and they appreciate it. You know,
very competent, very good at what they do. Yeah. I've never, like I said, dude, I love that whole game. I think that we could find more successful businesses, because at the end of the day, like for most people, I would say too, like you can have those long-term VAs. They follow you from business to business. Sometimes it can be a stepping stone too. Like finally I can do this and we can move them into a different part and I can hire, because now I have the money to justify, you know, a salesperson, or I have the money to justify whatever now. Right. Like there's just so many ways of looking at it. When people come up with these things, I'm like, dude, you're just in like a scarcity mindset for the most part.
Scarcity mindset.
You know what I mean? Like there's enough to go around, like
abundance,
you've got to figure
everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's our job, like as business owners, like, you know, why do you start a business? Mm-hmm. To feed your family, to be self-employed, for whatever reason it is. I don't know anybody that started a business with the goal in mind to be poor.
Yeah. Well, at least in the long run, right?
Right.
Yeah. At least in the long run.
So you're trying to build something and, you know, cutting costs and making it affordable to start. Even in established businesses. I mean, how many big business owners have just don't have enough support around them. So they're working 60 to 70 hours a week that could use a couple VAs out of their own pocket. We placed a VA with a CEO of a company that he pays for out of his own pocket.
Yeah.
He's not a company employee. It's a personal virtual assistant that he pays out of his own pocket to free up his time.
Yeah. Which is great.
He said the task that he's deemed his VA with, the biggest time saver is she reads all of his emails and stars the ones that have pertinent information that he needs to go through.
Yeah. So if she goes through the junk or whatever.
Yeah.
That's such a good idea.
She knows like, hey, if it's accounting purposes, forward this email to this person. If it's whatever, you know, and PR, whatever, like it goes to different people and then he stars the ones that he needs to read.
Yeah.
And he's like, that saves 10 to 15 hours a week for me.
Yeah, dude.
That's invaluable.
People don't understand like how time consuming it is when you're in a position like that and you have to like field everybody wants your time and you can't give it to everybody. And so, yeah, like having that sort of support is like incredible. So, dude, I think it's amazing. I don't see why more people don't do it, to be honest with you.
There really isn't a reason why not. And like you said, like they're very competent. They're very good. They're
most
grateful.
Of them have really good
they're
degrees.
Appreciative. They're educated. There's not a lot of downside unless you just like pinpoint on the, well, you should be paying them more. Well,
yeah, I saw
that. I can't afford to pay them more.
Well, yeah. Actually, funny enough, dude, the only people that I've ever heard those comments from are like HR salespeople. I don't call them recruiters anymore. I don't call them recruiters anymore because that lets them off the hook. They're salespeople. Their job is to sell companies to employees to make sure that like you like, and the craziest thing for me is like these HR people, they go, their job is to make the company money too. Like they have a budget of 80 grand a year for a salesperson. If they get it at 770, you're telling me that nobody gets a cut of that?
Of course they do.
Yeah. You're higher than a kite. I know you do. So I don't call them recruiters anymore. I call them HR salespeople. I call them people salespeople. And that pisses them off so much. And that's why I love doing it.
I mean, I have a buddy. That's his whole business is he owns a recruiting business. Right? Yeah.
He's a salesperson.
And yeah.
But good for him, but stop telling me you're a recruiter.
To my point exactly, he views himself, he's in the business of building relationships.
Sales. It's sales. I know. I love it when people try to like, and I mean, by the way, it's good though. Like messaging, the way that you brand it, like all of that's really good. But like, then when you get down to the nitty gritty, I'm like, dude, you're a salesperson.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Like, I'm in sales.
we're all in sales. Dude.
We're all in sales.
We're all in sales, bro.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And it's just like learning how to do that. But dude, you guys also have, Fierce Fighting. You're also in that, dude.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I've always had irons in the fire. Maybe too many.
That's welcome to our life, dude.
Welcome to our life, right? We're a rare breed. But, when people ask me like, how do you do it? It's like, what do you mean? How do you do it? You just do it.
With a VA.
Yeah. Just do it with a VA. That's how you do it with VAs. You want freedom? Get the VA. So our company VA Connects, you can actually go to our website. It's vaconnects.net and you can kind of fill out like what you're looking for and what kind of task. And then we find the right people for them. And then that frees up time. Hopefully that you can watch more MMA.
Watch more MMA, dude. Absolutely. Cause you guys got a fight coming up.
So we've grown Fierce Fighting Championship to the point where we are now the busiest and most active promotion in not only in Utah, I think pretty close to the region in the West. Yeah. We have 11 shows this year. We have a show every month this year in December.
So you're talking like, I know California's got some big promotions.
King of the Cage, stuff like that. But I mean, I think King of the Cage only did 3 shows last year.
Whoa. So you got quite a few. I remember when the UFC came to Salt Lake, Dana was talking about like looking for fighters in Utah to have some like local fights and everybody was pointing to Fierce.
Well, so Blake Arulian, who's our play-by-play guy and the head of our digital media content, he was working for Park City TV, rest in peace. They're out of business now. Okay. Cool. But he was working for them and he got a press pass and got to interview Dana White. And And yeah,
yeah, I remember that was the one I saw. Yeah.
He gave us a nice little plug, but I mean, yeah, it was good. We, you know, Chris Curtis, who's a ranked middleweight in the UFC now, he fought for us. I believe one his last or last two fights before he signed with the UFC, where he was signed with Fierce. He was our main event, fighting here.
Dude, and you know what's wild, bro? So many of these great, there's so much great talent in Utah. It's so, Utah's so slept on.
Oh, sneaky good hotbed.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Utah's sneaky good hotbed. People don't understand. And that's what we're trying to highlight. If you watch a lot of our Fierce cards, if you watch a lot of the cards, we usually bring in out of towners to fight the kids from Utah rather than trying to do Utah versus Utah matchups.
Yeah. That's, I like that though.
So because other promotions, not just in Utah, but around, they try and do locals against each other because you save money, right? You don't have to pay travel expenses, hotel,
right.
But if you do a Utah versus out of towner, you have to pay for the travel. You have to pay for their hotel.
You have to
it takes some money to get them here. And that's the business part of it, but that's part of what we want to invest. We're investing into the Utah fighters by giving them talent from Vegas, California, wherever, because, and it's a lot funner for the crowd too, right? Because the crowd pretty much just gets behind the Utah guys.
Yeah. Cause now you're like home turf. I think that's a great idea. I mean, especially if you want exposure, right? Like,
yes.
Like, especially if you're like, you want people on their record, like, and you're Utah boys who are beating up these out of towners. Yeah. You're like, dude, I didn't beat up a Utah guy. I beat up a guy from Oregon, from Vegas. Yeah.
I have a good working relationship with a few managers, but, one in particular, that's a coach at Extreme Couture in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
And so he brings a lot of his amateurs and fighters up from Extreme Couture and Vegas fighters up from Vegas. Usually almost a handful on every card. Our January card, he had 7 guys
from Vegas
at the Maverick Center. And,
that's fun for everybody.
We have two or three Extreme Couture people coming up here in a couple weeks at our Challenger Series, which is our smaller amateur show at Clearfield High School this time. And, you know, we bring them in, and I mean, it's a good, everybody views Extreme Couture as like a big time gym, right?
Yeah. Everybody knows that's really nice. Yeah.
Everybody knows Extreme Couture. Yeah. Well, if you're beating people from Extreme Couture,
it's good for everybody,
right? And for Extreme Couture to come up here and they have a promotion that's fairly close to them that tries to, you know,
that helps their fighters active, yeah,
right?
Helps their fighters.
I mean, it's mutually beneficial
because,
for sure.
Dude, yeah, fighting in California, I bet, is not fun.
Vegas, like money. Vegas is expensive. California is big. We just went up to Idaho. Idaho Falls opened up their new arena up there, sold out the arena. It was freaking awesome. But yeah, everywhere else is
super
expensive.
I feel like you do really well in Idaho.
Oh, Idaho's awesome. There's nothing to do up there.
Yeah, it was all those bumpkins. They just had
they loved it, man.
Heck yeah, dude. Absolutely.
You know, God bless the rednecks because they consume a ton of alcohol too up there.
Oh, dude, yeah, I bet you said we money. And you probably do they have a lot of alcohol laws up in Idaho? Like they do in Utah?
None. You know, marijuana is zero tolerance up there.
Yeah.
But you can consume as much alcohol as you'd like. Like, we were all laughing about it.
Makes sense, dude.
We were all, tidbit, all fighters smoke weed. Not all, but most fighters smoke weed, right?
Yeah,
they get their medical cards here, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Recreationally from Nevada, especially in Nevada. Like all the Nevada fighters, they all smoke weed, right?
Well,
Nevada's or Idaho's like zero tolerance on that stuff. Like
which is nuts.
And then, we're like zero tolerance on weed. And me and the owner of Fierce, Cody, we're sitting cage side and we turn around and there's this table right behind us. Seats 8 people, right? There's probably 4 big boys, just like 40 of them.
Yeah.
Just
and they're
polished through. Yeah. And they could easily drink 5-6 beers each that night.
Isn't that funny though?
Like, but weed, no.
Yeah. You're like zero tolerance on weed.
Like, who's driving?
If you need some help though, our doctor will prescribe you all the Oxycontin that you need.
That's right.
For as long as you need it, no questions asked.
Yeah. Pill pushers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pill pushers.
It's like, yeah, no. You don't have to tell me. It's like you got,
I love Idaho.
Idaho State, right? Zero tolerance for weed. Idaho State Soccer, sponsored by Budweiser. Let's fucking go, dude. That's probably the worst strike. Well, you know, because just on that little tangent, alcohol and benzos are the only drugs that you can't quit cold turkey. Did you know that?
No.
You can't quit alcohol cold turkey.
Why not?
It gets into your blood, dude. It affects it changes the chemistry.
So you have to wean yourself off alcohol. If you have an alcohol problem, you have to wean yourself off.
The doctors will inject it right into your blood to bring you down. You can't quit. You can't quit it cold turkey. Scary story, but I saw my mom have grandma seizures on the table because she hadn't had alcohol for like 18 hours.
Seriously?
You have to drink it. You have to drink. Yeah. You have to come down. Like heroin, you go through the shakes. Meth, go through withdrawals. Whatever else you can think of.
Nicotine,
cold turkey. You got to go through it, right? It's going to suck. Can't do it with alcohol. Can't do it with benzos.
It'll kill you.
Can't do it with alcohol or benzos. You will die. They inject it into your blood
no weed though.
No weed though. Yeah, it makes sense, dude. Weed's never killed anybody. It's just wild, yeah. Bro. I think the thing around weed, I think why an Idaho thing is but all of this would be eradicated if you decriminalized it, at least decriminalized it. But they have a lot of problems with those, the Northern California
sure
cartels or whatever. But again, if you just sure. made it legal, you're but, just like, all right, whatever.
I mean, nice little fun tangent there. But yeah. So as we're trying to like grow fierce, grow the sport in the region, you know, going up to Idaho, and then we'll be going back this summer and then again in September.
Dude, that's so cool.
Growing into other states, there's other states that we've had venues in other states reach out to us and ask if we'd ever be interested in coming.
Going close, there. Like Oregon or like something?
Arizona.
Arizona's cool.
We've had a Nevada
venue. Are, yeah, getting big, dude.
Asked if we'd ever be interested in coming and visiting. So there's baby steps, but at the same time, there's a... There's a path for a lot of growth with the Friday Championship.
Why not, man? I think that's a really cool. Well, if you can get into that, I think that's freaking amazing because you're just helping. Like, I mean, that helps, you know, little fighters like the amateur guys that want to go pro.
So we have our big shows, right? So with the Maverick Center and now the Mountain America Center in Idaho Falls, a big arenas, big shows, mostly professionals on the cards with a few amateurs getting a rare experience of fighting in a big arena. But then we do our Challenger Series, which we're about to do Challenger Series 4 at Clearfield High. We've been at Mountain View High in Orem.
Oh, cool.
Those are more like...
Those are like amateur...
Like 10 amateur fights and maybe one or two pro fights at the end of the night.
Oh, cool.
So like kind of flip the model. I was super excited about our April card at the Maverick Center. Mm-hmm. April 21st, we'll be at the Maverick Center. And that one's actually going to have a lot of amateurs on it as well.
That's cool though.
To highlight some of the top tier amateurs in the state.
What do you require for amateurs to come fight? I won't mention, you probably guess it as soon as I tell you the story.
Let's do it.
But dude, I went to a fight like 3 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
And they had some amateur fights at the beginning. And I saw this little kid come out. I mean, I don't know how he was obviously old enough.
Okay. Like,
I'm sure they did that.
He was at least 18.
I'm sure they did that much due diligence.
For sure.
He was independent, not with a gym.
Yep.
That I don't think. Anyway, I'm just giving you my opinion. All right. So he was independent. Okay. He had basketball shorts on that went below his knees.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, and then I'm like 90% sure his hands were taped from a guy who watched on YouTube.
Yeah. Welcome to MMA.
Dude, you can't, this little 18-year-old, he can't do anything in basketball.
Yeah, I mean,
that was an extreme one.
Sure.
Most everybody else was fine.
So that's the beauty of MMA though. Everybody can do what they want and have their own reasons and have their own journey. Like maybe that kid just had a bucket list thing where he's like, I'm going to do a cage fight somewhere. And
maybe just one.
Just one.
And just to say I did it.
Okay, so this is a true story.
But
so
like you can get really hurt doing that, dude.
So yeah, this is what we say all the time. I'm like, you can play football, you can play basketball, you can play baseball, you can't play fight, right? Yeah, like you can't.
Yeah, that, well.
Like we're fighting.
Dude, yeah, I mean like damn.
My goal, like, you know, like when I fight, it's like my goal, I'm trying to separate you from consciousness, dislocate joints, you well, know, break you bones.
Should,
like,
you should, yeah.
And stuff too. So we had a kid at Challenger Series 3 back in October. Put on a great show. He's like a showman, like had some good charisma, right? Yeah. It was his amateur debut, trained at a gym, but you know, good charisma, put on a show, got a big second round knockout, super entertaining fight.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I reached out to the gym last week and I'm like, his name was Spencer. And I said, hey, has Spencer been training? Does he want to hop on a card shoot again? Like, I want to see that kid fight again. He was fun. And they go, oh, he quit. I was like,
what? Yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
What do you mean he quit? Like, he was awesome.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, he won his fight. And the very next week, he sent a text message to the gym and said, thank you for everything. I marked that off my bucket list and I'd like to focus on school. Will you please cancel my membership to the gym?
Whoa.
And it was like,
good for you, man.
Wait, what?
Yeah, but he trained.
Sure.
He was working.
Okay.
It's these guys who are like, I don't know. I don't know. I get really embarrassed. I get secondhand embarrassment for people.
I'm gonna show you something.
If I, dude, because I'm thinking like I've trained in jiu-jitsu, wrestling, like we have, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like this dude's coming out in basketball shorts. He can't shoot. He can't throw a kick. He can't do anything except for like maybe box a little bit and hopefully he knows.
Ready for this?
I can't do it, dude. I was watching him. I was like, I had to go to the bathroom, dude.
Because your anxiety was
so my dad and tell me like, hey, tell me when this nightmare is over.
Tell me when this name is. So this this kid, he sent in a request to fight for Fierce Fighting Championship.
Okay.
Gave us his name, his phone number, his email, where he's from. And we said, tell us about your training. Self-taught.
Jesus.
I go to the gym at my college. I want to start my MMA career and find a coach or a gym, but I would like to fight first. I'm currently at 173 pounds and would like to fight at 145 pounds.
Cancel it.
Okay.
No, oh, he wants to cut?
Time out. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I call him, right? So I call him. I'm like, have you ever wrestled? No. Like with my friends and like, you know, like in the living room. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I watch all the UFC fights
though. Oh my gosh.
And I'm just like, okay. And I'm like, have you ever cut weight before? And he goes, yeah, I did a test cut down. He basically starved himself for a week and got down to like 150.
Yeah, see that.
And I'm like, oh, okay. There, I'm like, okay. So I was gonna offer you a fight, but where you live,
can't do that.
There are some gyms. I know there are gyms there. It's not in this state. It's in a different state, but and we're cool now. Like we message a little bit, so I'm not gonna say any names because
I don't want it. He's good now.
But
you got his head on straight. Thank
a little bit, dude, a little bit. But sometimes you need these guys to give them a little direction, right?
And yeah, like, you should.
Hey,
yeah.
Go to a gym, talk to the coach at the gym, and ask them when they think you're ready for a fight, and then have them call me and then I will get you a fight. I promise I want you to fight, but I just don't want you to die.
Yeah, dude, because it's not a joke. Like
that's no joke anymore. And
dude, at 100, I mean, he's 170, I guess trying to get to whatever, but dude, you're 170. That's a gnarly weight class.
Yeah, that's what I fight at.
Yeah, that's a gnarly,
and look at me right now, I'm like 210.
But like those are big boys.
Yeah, they're
those
boys.
Are big boys, dude. Yeah. That's not
when I fight at 170.
I mean, everybody's good. Every weight class is good, right? Like,
but 155 to 170,
freaking good night. 190.
Yeah,
that's what's light heavy is like 205, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, when I look at too, like I'm like, you know, when I fight at 170, I step into the cage the next night over 190.
Yeah, dude. No, bro. That's cutting weight, dude.
Yeah,
absolutely. Dude, that's not, I wrestled forever.
But you have to know how to do it so you can put the weight back on, right? And then if this kid's just starving himself, I'm like, what?
Yeah, and most of the time, don't you have to do like hydration tests?
Not here in the United States.
For MMA?
Nope.
We have to do hydration tests for wrestling.
Yeah, that's because wrestling's more advanced than MMA in some ways.
Freak, dude. Yeah, they came out my sophomore year. Everybody got to take a pee test at the beginning of the year and the doctor will tell you how low you can go.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll tell you how low.
Yeah. So
they go way BMIMP.
But there are some promotions that it's like, hey, you want to do it? Like, we'll give you the opportunity. And they don't care if you train or whatever, because they just want to put on like, and here's the thing. It's entertaining. You could stick, if you stick two kids in a cage that don't know what they don't know what they're doing, but they just start swinging limbs at each other. It's entertaining. You'll watch. You'll watch.
Yeah, I tried to watch that one watch. Guy. Dude, he was giving me anxiety, man.
Don't lie to me. You'll
the
watch.
Other kid knew what he was doing. I was that's pretty impressed with the other kid.
That's where I actually haven't accepted. I kind of don't like.
Is when they put someone like that with someone who knows what they're doing a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you got to put two people who've never trained before together.
Yeah. So like we just made a matchup with two kids that have been training less than 6 months. Both of them probably shouldn't be fighting yet, but we're fighting two kids, same size.
Is everybody,
both gyms are reputable gyms, and they're like, kids too green to fight. But if you find somebody with the same experience level and they're training, like, we'll do it.
Yeah.
So,
dude, I just know, like, I've seen, I've just been around combat sports and I have a lot of empathy. I just could not tell somebody to be like, oh, you've never fought before? Come on in, buddy. I'd be like, no, 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 no. In my, like, I personally wouldn't even let someone wrestle if they haven't been practicing or training for a year.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't let you step into the circle no matter what. Or jiu-jitsu, like, you gotta be there for 6 or 8 months, dude.
Yeah. I mean, some people learn different. It's just,
well, we can live in the gym. Like, we can have a live, like, those are great. Like,
so I joined my gym 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Next month.
Yeah.
Next month will be 6 years.
Yeah.
Beginning of April. I fought by December, and I never wrestled. I'd never done anything.
Yeah, that's
never
crazy. Done
any type of striking.
That's crazy. I guess if you're going up against somebody who's never done it before, like if you're on the same skill level.
But I fought an independent kid.
Okay. I mean,
it worked out.
I mean, I guess. Yeah, but like, I guess that's also where my kind of like experience comes in, because like, that's the beauty of wrestling and jiu-jitsu and some of these ones is like, I think I like wrestling more than jiu-jitsu, and here's why. Because there's no belts in jiu-jitsu or no belts in wrestling. Like, you have no clue who you're going against. And I guess you could do no gi, right? And there's no belts. But like, if you go to a jiu-jitsu tournament, it's like, you're in the white belt category, you're a blue belt, you're a purple belt.
Yeah.
Go to a wrestling, you're done. Like, that's where I get so scared, because I've seen people who've wrestled since they were baby, out the womb on a mat, right?
Sure.
And now we're 12 years later or 13 years later or whatever. And, or excuse me, we're like,
you're in the same 18 weight class.
Yeah. And we're in the same weight class and we're wrestling each other. I got no shot, or you got no shot. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to win, and it's going to be, and you're going to get hurt too, because like,
I hate wrestlers, just so you know that.
That's why I love wrestling.
I hate, like, every time I'm training at a gym and a new wrestler shows up, I'm like, why? Like, go somewhere.
I go right to the ground. Like, it's my game plan. We were talking about this before.
Yeah, dude, we were, there's a new kid that signed up at our gym.
Yeah.
And I could just tell by his body build. I'm like, you're a wrestler. Like,
yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Stupid little cauliflower ear. And
yeah,
you got this.
I never got that, by the way.
I could tell. Yeah. I was checking out. I didn't have a little bit.
I put $100 on my jiu-jitsu wall and $100 all through high school for somebody to just give it to me. Like, I'll give you $100 if you just hit me in the, and I never
some
got
some people,
it.
It's like genetic.
I can't do it. Yeah, I just can't do it.
So, but this kid shows up and I'm like, I can just tell you're a wrestler. And it was jiu-jitsu class, right? So you do it the typical, you know, like slap hands, fist bump.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Roll. And he just starts going to town.
Yeah,
and just going nuts. And I'm like, okay, this is a little, buddy, you need to relax, you know?
Yeah, like, jiu-jitsu is not the same as wrestling.
Like, we're not wrestling, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then we did something, and somehow, like, he got a hold of my leg, and he started trying to, like, heel hook me and, like, ankle lock me and stuff. And I'm like, you don't know what you're doing. And then then I tried to get my leg out, and I couldn't get it out. And I'm like, he doesn't know what he's doing, but if he, like, rips on it hard enough, like,
you're in trouble.
I might be in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely, if you don't know what you're
doing. And then, like, this urgency kicked in. But then the jiu-jitsu match, like, really started, and it was...
Yeah.
I mean, well, I had to
Wrestling's not the same as jiu-jitsu.
No,
it's so if you put a wrestler in a jiu-jitsu, I don't like wrestlers in jiu-jitsu either.
Yeah, because but the other thing, if a wrestler, if you put them on their back, they kind of freak out a little.
Yeah.
Most wrestlers, when they start jiu-jitsu, they're not comfortable.
No. They'll go right to the turtle or something.
I'll butt scoot, right? Like, I'll butt scoot right up to you and you can push me onto my back and I'm fine.
Yeah. I've been doing jiu-jitsu long enough. I had to overcome the back thing. But yeah, now I just, but here's the crazy thing. Like when people we'll do a match or something and we'll do the fist bump or whatever and they'll sit down right away.
Yeah, that's me.
I just let you sit. I'm not going to sit down.
That's fine.
But I had to learn too. Like, I'm also not going to let you get anywhere. I'm not going to let
them grab your legs.
Yeah.
Grab your legs.
Nah, I'm good.
No.
That's when it gets dirty. That's when we start doing dirty jiu-jitsu. Like, I'll step on your foot or something.
That's okay.
No, we have fun, dude. But yes, wrestlers are tough, but wrestlers in MMA, dude, there's no doubt. Like, that's one of the best things you can do for MMA.
It's the best foundation.
Yeah.
If you have a kid that wants to be a legit MMA fighter, you have to put them in a wrestling program as a child now. You have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cause I'll wait for you. Like when I get a new guy in the gym, like a jiu-jitsu gym, I'll wait for you.
Sure.
I'm not going in. So I don't need to.
So, but
especially freestyle wrestling is like a little bit of judo. So I did a little bit of judo freestyle.
Gotcha. Tosses. We're just going
to. Yeah. I remember when I was at your gym and I tossed that big guy.
Yeah.
And your coach was like, I've never seen a 250 pound guy go flying.
Yeah.
So you just know how to do it.
Yeah. Right? You just gotta do it. Full send. Full send.
You never get hurt. Like, but if you do it the right way, you don't.
The nice thing with having a wrestling base is you can determine where the fight happens. Right.
Right.
So if you want, that's fine. But then if you get hurt, you're like, okay, I got to
take this guy.
I'm going to take this guy down.
And then chill for a second. get my wits about me.
Yeah.
That's what I've done that before too.
Like,
dude. Well, bro, I appreciate you coming to the studio.
Oh, thank you.
Talking everything, but tell everybody again where they can get a VA.
Yeah. Hit us up. VA Connects, VACONNEX.net. VAConnects.net. You can go fill out the survey. Again, if anybody needs a stay at home, affordable work from home position for their job, we can find somebody for them to help them out. Very affordable, part-time, full-time, whatever, can make it work. And then, and then if you're into fights, you want to see local fights, Fierce Fighting Champion.
Fierce Fighting, bro. Thanks, bro.
Championship.com. Thank you.